Colin, since we are, you know, following a very tight schedule, and I'm sorry, but could you start with outside and the...
Yeah, with pleasure. Okay. Irony
is not missed, by the way.
The slides are looking better now than they were when I saw them earlier, so that's good. Okay, so the question for those who can't see the screen because it's not there, was which new technologies do you see having the most impact on your life and the way you work at the moment? And it's kind of a two-part question because it says, what technological impacts can you see on how financial statements are prepared, audited, and used? It's a very long question, but we kind of distilled it down into three parts, really, and kind of put the question together. So we looked at it from the preparer lens, so from what does technological change mean from the aspect of the preparer. We also looked at it from the aspect of the auditor, and we had some auditors in our group, which was helpful. And we also looked at it from the perspective of the user. Here we go. Can we make it lighter? Excellent. Okay. So I've not seen these slides yet, so bear with me. Yeah, is this the first slide, is it? Okay. So from the perspective of... It should be preparer, that's it, yeah. So for preparer first, if we walk through that. So we took that concept and then we actually bucketed it into the kind of criteria that I think the ICAEW kind of lumped the different data into, different technologies into. So this is big data, automation, and the kind of networks. So from big data, we thought from the preparer's perspective, the fact there'll be readily accessible information. You know, Google is there at everybody's fingertips, so that makes people in a knowledge economy kind of a threat to them, because to the extent you spent lots of years learning something, but a lot of information might be in the internet domain, does that create a threat for you as a preparer and, you know, your knowledge of accounting standards or something like that? It's also an opportunity because it gives people, preparers, huge amounts more information than they would have had previously. You don't have to buy lots of books. You can really Google almost everything and it gives you a lot of help and assistance. We took it to a more kind of simple level in remote working. That's something that's pretty well embedded, but cloud computing has been a big enabler in that space. And I think that development, that progress will just continue to accelerate. You know, a lot of people working remotely with their mobiles, with their laptops and working from home. A lot of organizations are now starting to implement a policy where you might work from home one day a week and that frees up office capacity, and it's all very good from an efficiency perspective. We then talked to IXBRL. You can't really talk about big data or anything technology related without touching on IXBRL. It's so pervasive, and it's the requirements in IXBRL will probably continue to increase, and there'll be more traction in the IXBRL space. So again, as a preparer, I think that's a bit of a challenge, and we need to kind of up the amount of knowledge in our application of IXBRL, and trying to navigate that will take a bit of time and effort. We dropped in blockchain, and I think this is something that maybe not everybody's that familiar with. But this is effectively the Bitcoin technology, and where it could be applicable for preparers is in relation to digital ledgers, for example, so whereby you can settle positions with suppliers via blockchain. You know, it could obviously reduce transaction costs. It happens almost instantaneously, and it's very secure. So again, from a preparer perspective and an accountant, there's a lot of development in that area as well. We then looked to automation. This is something obviously makes some of us nervous. You know, will the robots replace the people? And I think the kind of most applicable stuff we could think about was journals. There's a lot of software out there, sort of in the treasury space, which will have automated journal entries for hedging, for example. I've seen that. And there's also a large amount of reconciliation software that's out there, again, taking some of the manual work out of your accounting day-to-day business. Can we go to the next slide, please? So this is auditors next. So actually in the auditors, you can see there's quite a lot of impacts. And a lot of them are kind of repetitive, so I'll just touch on the ones that aren't that we haven't covered earlier for the preparer perspective. And I think on IXBRL, I might just touch on that, actually, because although that'll touch every, you know, the user, the preparer, and the auditor, I think in the auditor space, it's going to be really interesting how auditors deal with that, because I think at the moment, the assurance process is driven on the annual report as a kind of PDF construct. When you actually, you know, look at enriching that, do the auditors have a position in that to try and actually review in detail and actually attest to the and give some sort of assurance on the actual underlying IXBRL data. That's clearly an opportunity for them, but it's a threat in that, you know, to the extent that becomes more valuable if that were to be the case in the annual report, how do the audit market react to that? Obviously, the obvious one is analytics software. This is something that's not new to the audit space. This is something that I think has been around for a long time, but it's just continuing to gain momentum. The theory is that you've got such data processing capacity that you can download, say, all the entries in a general ledger and put it in a system with an analytics software and try and kind of derive exception reports, sort of outliers and areas that you should really target some of the audit testing on. So clearly that's a great tool and a great enabler for the audit market. But again, it doesn't come without threats, in that we thought there could be a tension with this kind of more process basic work that would have normally been done by junior members of the audit team, if that is to be replaced in the fullness of time by automated software, then again, how are we training the next generation of auditors? You know, because there could be a gap between the senior auditors who effectively have been through that process, that learning experience, and then who's kind of replenishing them as they kind of move out of the audit profession. Because these are kind of core skills that I think every auditor should really learn. An interesting point was raised on peer review. So this is like another way of looking at how you attest and, you know, give assurance on data. And Wikipedia was thrown out there as an example whereby Wikipedia is not, as we all know, it's not gospel, but it is kind of subject to peer review and should be, due to how many people are looking at the data, it should be pretty robust, although, you know, you can't edit it. So is there a space there that could challenge auditors when you would get to more real-time data that maybe get subject to peer review rather than the traditional assurance model? On automation, we were kind of struggling a little bit. We came up with one idea, scenario. We thought there is software out there that looks at stuff like legal agreements and kind of really teases out the main points out of them, the salient points. And again, that takes away the manual reading huge big, you know, piles of legal agreements, which is obviously quite beneficial. In the standard space, this is where I think it talks about like social networks and platforms like that. There'll be a challenge for auditors to understand this new business world. You know, clearly, to the extent a lot of the assets in some of these disruptive technology businesses are really off balance sheet, they're intangible. You know, how do we actually look at getting assurance on those? Do the standards change to try and put more emphasis on the intangible value inherent in these companies? And if so, how are we actually going to, as auditors, how are you going to get assurance over that and opine that these companies are, you know, accurately presented? One more point on that, sorry, going concern. Clearly, to the extent this is a disruptive technology, it will create winners and losers in the market, and I think it will accelerate, the research says it accelerates the amount of companies that fail because of the competitive environment. That's obviously a challenge for the audit profession regarding going concerns, because with this rapid technological change, it's hard to know with any certainty what companies will survive in this environment. Users. So again, there's a lot of repetition here, but the ones that I probably would talk to are in the concept of moving from more of a historic, backward-looking perspective, which financial statements give you, to more real-time and recent data analysis. Already, scientific active equity, you know, big data asset managers are looking at stuff like shipping trends, buying habits that they get from search engines, and stuff like that, and kind of putting that into their quantitative models to try and predict the future developments in certain sectors. So this is obviously an evolution that's ongoing. I think that the ultimate kind of end that we saw on this might be some sort of real-time sort of ledger downloads into some system that feeds into asset manager or investors. That's quite a bit away, but that could be where you get real, you know, timely data, as in when journals are booked, it gets reflected in these algorithmic applications. So that's probably that's a long way in the future, but there is a momentum to start moving in that direction. So IXBRL, again, just talked to it here briefly. I think the concern from our perspective was that in its crudest context, it's numbers without the context. So you can't really tell the story just with numbers alone. So that's where the annual report really is very valuable. And we also thought there's a lack of standardisation to the extent that the ISB's got a taxonomy and it's, you know, it's got different flavours across the world. That's regrettable because, again, it impairs comparability. So automation, again, talking to the sort of the scientific active equity space, there's a huge amount of automated analysis that's going on in software in that space. It looks to take, for example, earnings releases and kind of highlight certain outliers, for example, and summarises that to try and help investment managers to make buy and hold decisions. Again, it's reliant on big data, so it's garbage in, garbage out. So the to extent the value in this automated solution is really predicated on the value on the robust nature of the underlying data, and that's obviously the challenge. Okay, that's a bit of a harder one to answer. So how is technology changing the use of accounting standards? So our view was that the annual report is still key. We think it's a foundation which all other kind of big data and other technological solutions can be built on. So I think the ISB maybe has concerns about its relevance eroding over time. We felt that was certainly at the moment overstated. However, it is not without limitations, so by its nature it's historic and backwards looking. So by that I mean it's confirmatory, so it gives you as a user a good way of managing and holding management to account with the assets you've given them to put to work, but it is always going to be backward looking. Clearly it's valuable because it's actually subject to a very robust audit, which again gives you more assurance on the value and the accuracy of the data. And this gets back to the tension between unstructured data, which is maybe not subject to the same degree of attestation, versus obviously the kind of historic, somewhat out of date audits reports, which are obviously of value because they are subject to that kind of robust scrutiny. We thought iXBRL has obviously got a lot of potential, and to the extent it can enrich what the financial statements are telling you, is obviously a good thing. But again, it lacks standardisation, and the fact it's not subject to audit, I think, would give us some concerns about how robust that information actually is. So, taking this all back to the ISB, clearly, information technology represents an opportunity to everybody, and the ISB are included in that. It could hopefully help to streamline some of the operations of the ISB, some of the outreach, some of the research projects, if they can start farming information via information technology. It clearly represents a threat and a challenge. Over time, there is a sense that IFRS may have to evolve to keep pace with the emerging technologies to ensure it's still the cornerstone of good capital markets. On the more immediate term, resourcing skills, obviously I don't have a transparency to the ISB, but I get the sense that it's probably more full of technical accountants rather than IT professionals. So as we move to this new brave world, I think there will be a necessity to look to recruit IT and data science specialists. And again, another kind of more immediate point is about how does the ISB control the tagging environment? Because obviously tagging is only of value to the extent it's standardised and it's comparable. With the fact that it's kind of somewhat devolved to different jurisdictions, there's a risk that it kind of impairs its value. I think that was all we had, actually. Is there any questions? In fact, if anybody in the group thinks I've missed something egregious, I probably have. There's a lot going on. Melanie? No? Okay. Going once, going twice?
Any questions or any comments from IASB side? No? Okay. Thank you, Colin. And then group two, I believe, Vania.
Thank you. I'll be quite to the point. The first question, we understand there are two parts in there. The first one asks how much we can be impacted by technology. Technology actually is everywhere, every time, involves everything, and is available for everyone. My small cousin boy has just 8 months, but he is already able to turn on the iPad and choose the application he likes most. So it's everywhere. It's unavoidable that you'll be impacting our job as well. The second part of the question asks then how it can be impacting preparers, auditors, and users. In connection to the preparers, we think that the first question is connected to the time frame. The information can be made available almost immediately, then we should ask, how frequent should the company be releasing information to the market? As regards to the content, everything can be available quite immediately, just pressing a button, and then the question would be, how much detailed should the information be, giving lots and lots and lots of data to the companies, to the market? You'll be informing better? Do you really think so? In such a way, when we could put much more than necessary in the market, the user will have difficulty identifying what should be looked at as a priority, as a most material, as most important to base its decision-making process. In connection to preparation, preparing a report will be at the point of the finger, but couldn't it be dangerous? Because it can create a sort of dependence that brings people to be useless without technology. For example, last week, my 15-year-old daughter was preparing a homework, and she was very stressed because she was looking for the answer for the questions in the internet and wasn't able to find it. And then I brought her to the library and picked a book, and everything was there. In the past, we were very much content in waiting for technology, for 3G to provide us with information. And nowadays, we became very frustrated if we do not have immediate answer, immediate access to everything. So how dependent can we be if we use too much technology for what we do? And I'm afraid that in schools, teachers are relying pretty much in technology nowadays. How those students became in dependent on this technology, and then the door for innovation could be locked definitely for them. In terms of impact, someone in our group said that the focus of the preparers would not be just in the report itself, but in reporting, which is very good and could be very useful for integrated reporting, for example, as mentioned. But then there is a question on, this is much more a question of changing culture than changing exactly how reports are done. And can we change the culture of preparing reporting just by training? How much effort do you need to use in order to provide the necessary fundamentals for the culture of the company in terms of reporting to be completely revisited? Please. I apologize for my bad English. I let everyone know that it was not so proficient before. Regarding the auditors, it can be an opportunity because they would have at hand conditions to do better analysis, to verify big data, and to make quicker assumptions and tests and so far. But that can result in the market and the companies making pressure on these auditors to make their opinion as quicker as the reports can be generated. And can that compromise the quality of the auditor's job in this sense? If they use too much technology, would there be yet space for professional judgment and professional skepticism, for example? Will the auditor be really an auditor or just an agent of bringing conformity for the reports of the companies? And in such a way, as there is so many possibility of trash in the information available, the service of the auditors become capital in order to assure the quality of the information that is being provided by the company. And that results in a completely new profile for the auditors in the future. They could not just know accountancy, they would be also experts in technology as well. Please, Aidan. As for the users, they will have much more access to data in order to build the information they will be basing their analysis and their decision-making process. But would that excess of information really represent better information for them? How reliable that information would be? And how could they deal with that? And how would they use that? It is could be very dangerous because the quality of the information available can make the company in better conditions in terms of competitiveness. But on the other way around, who would guarantee the company that this information source was reliable? Because your competitor can be granting this information in the market as well, because there is no one signing for the content that we can fish from an internet, for example, in the great majority of the cases. Please, Ivan. And for the second question, how technology changed in the use of accounting standards? We understand that the focus of the standard setters would be on the content and definition rather than presentation, because everyone could format the information put available in which way they want. And that brings to the taxonomy getting capital importance in this process. And someone asked, if that is the case, would a global standard setter still be necessary? So you at the risk of becoming unemployment in the future hands, because if technology can replace that, that would be very difficult. But the case is that reliability will be an issue, very important issue. So good standard will be crucial in order to secure assurance, because for the auditors to check the information, they would need a base, a standard that are formalized in order to give them a space and a platform for which to build their auditing process on. And then standard setters can build the path for general purpose financial standards and provide a model case upon which the preparers will build their reports. Please, Ida. But there are also some issues that we would like to bring your attention to. The importance of reliability derives of the data generation, so we have to be more careful with the source of the information you'll be using. Someone pointed that in this security sector, for example, the insurance sector, for example, they are pretty much used to use models in order to build their management. But that can create some kind of dependence, because just suppose you are to change the provider of the models you are used to, and the majority of your confidential information was at the hands of the former one, wouldn't that bring a risk for you? Secondly, big data can make information more predictive. In this sense, should reports in the future be more confirmative than really informative? And someone called the attention that anywhere, anytime Apple or even Windows launch an update on their system, it's a big challenge. So the advice that we give is beware of the updates. I think that's it.
Vania, thank you. Do you have any comment? What? At the end? Okay. Let's move on to the group three. Michelin?
Yes, thank you. I have a fairly short summary, and I invite all my colleagues that were present in the group to jump in and add if I missed any point or want to give some clarification. So what technology has the most impact? I guess we started with one of our member mentioning that they just established a new web technology making the information available to all the employees. and how this exercise really is changing the company. They were receiving tons of questions and needed a fair bit of training, and I understand that they may have underestimated the amount of training and questions. And they also realized that you need to have controls if you have all this information available, and then you have to do that before rather than after, so you do that in the input side as opposed to at the output side. And then the whole organization has to change. So we've heard that, I think, from other groups, but that was definitively part of our discussion. Next slide, please. We reflected on the fact that as individual, we have access to information instantaneously, and that now it's the same is expected for corporations. And how do we deal that with it? It's much more difficult and a much bigger challenge. Some other member mentioned that we were worried about how do you treat all this data, that there are already some people that have figured out that you can program things, and there's some good market for that, that could read the information that you have in multiple data format, recognize the format, and really sort this out so that you have something at the end. Now, apparently quite expensive, but I guess something to look for. A lot of our discussion was on, I guess, apprehension, if that's an English word, with these new systems. For one, mentioned that technology effectively is progress faster than the cost can be amortized. So technology is also a risk, and therefore whether you should go there or it's even riskier if you're not going along with new technology. So I think at the end we'll figure out probably riskier if you don't go with the future technology. Security is a concern that was top of everybody's mind. We had a comment which also was mentioned here yesterday about the fact that on the auditing side, you can have all the technology you want, but if your client is using a fairly basic technology, there's not much that you can do, so there's a need to be adaptation on that. And an interesting, well, all were interesting, but that I'm not in research, so that was a good eye-opener for me. In fact, research is being made much easier with all the information that's available, but really it's not available everywhere on the planet, so that those international research do tend to focus on the large country which has more developed big data, and therefore there's a bias in there that we should be conscious of. Next slide. So how is it going to change the use of accounting standards? Someone dreamed in the group of this ideal world where you have all the information that you can basically give to everybody that's interested, and then you have 100% transparency, and you can basically provide all information directly from your system. At the same time, if this is a kind of a dream, it's also something that very few people in the group were willing to go along with, because of course, everybody was encouraging the others to go and have all the information public, but nobody was really prepared or volunteering to do that. So there is effectively some line of information that you want to provide and some that you want to keep for yourself. So it'll be interesting to see in the future what will be the pressure to go with that much transparency. They're likely to be, but also we all need to survive in a fairly competitive world. There was some mention on the standard, how would they will look like. I think there's just some already a movement that exists that to use a simpler language, something that's easier to access, easier to understand, and easier to translate, and probably more mechanically translate as you're using easier and simpler language. There was a mention there that that's good for new standards, but not, doesn't work apparently that well with the existing standards where if you're trying to patch it, it does look like a patch at the end. There was somebody raised the issue that maybe that we won't may not need standard in the future, but all this data, if anything, there will be more need for judgment. If the judgment on things that you don't necessarily have the data, and even if you have the data on how much you're using and how you're using it, is also will be very important. So that there's still a very good future for standard. How do you aggregate the information will also take much more of the attention. I'm not sure how true this will be, but it's probably a bit optimistic that we level three information, we will need less as more information will be observable. That will be more, but will it be enough so that it's we're getting rid of a level three? I guess I personally doubt this, but there's hopefully less space for it, and that would be a good development. Some concern about real-time information. Real-time means that it's changing every second, every minute. So how do you put a halt on something to figure out what your financial statement is? In old days, you basically had a batch job, you were stopping everything, and then you had all the information at an exact point in time. Now, with different geography, with different clocks and so on, and keep on going, this is maybe a bit more difficult task than it used to be in the past. And we also got some sharing from the teaching world, which I guess we already are aware that a lot of the teaching is available on online. What was surprising is to hear the impact it has on the availability of new study material. Because everything is available online, it's easy to get access to without necessarily paying for the books. And so there's less and less people that have an incentive, apparently, to develop text material. There's also, combined with that, the fact that there's now a need, if you're writing on FRS, to have licenses fee. So somebody asked the question whether this would not be an opportunity for the IFRS, that is doing more on the education. Now that's, and then there's a risk with that happening that it could become a monopoly if more is available from IFRS and then there's the others are more stressed in terms of reward to do the work. So there's pros and cons doing that, but that's probably a question that the IFRS could be asking itself. Pros is you do control the information and the quality, and that's I guess on the pro side. On the opposite side is you add a number of people that were working trying to make people aware and teaching on IFRS, and you may have less of that resource available. So. And that on that, it concludes our thoughts. If somebody wants to add something. Okay, so
okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michelle. And the last group is group four, and Stephen.
Yeah, I think our group was had a lot of auditors in as well, so I think the rest of the auditors weren't in group one, we're in our group, so there's a lot of audit points made. Can we move the slide one? Yeah, I think we discussed a little bit about the disruption or possible disruption that big data has to audits. A number of the points have been made already, so I won't dwell on them. I think one or two points I would look at, that one was the artificial intelligence and the use of artificial intelligence. Is growing. We have a number of, systems now that can read contracts, that can read leasing. We're looking at contracts on leasing, and these things read through them and pull out all the accounting information. also with data becoming more important, there's been a refocus back on internal controls to make sure that the actual data is correct, and we see a lot more assurance now on, you know, not that we've got to where the US is, but I can see from an audit perspective that maybe where we're going is actually signing off on, giving assurance directly on internal controls. Interestingly, one of the things I have seen change dramatically is how we as auditors look for information. We actually do sort of web searches, we do analytics, we do profiling on our clients, and we produce things that look very much like internal, what I would say is an integrated report to try and understand our clients. So it seems that we're running possibly ahead of where the integrated reporting is, but definitely there is a need to look at companies in a different manner. One of the big issues, I think, is new entrants, and there's a very big worry from the audit profession, not necessarily on auditing financial statements, but on assurance on information which is coming out of these systems. And it is very difficult sometimes for us to understand that. I know I mentioned to a few people in our group at Deloitte's, we now have a subsidiary somewhere which has got young entrepreneurs in it that are trying to work out how they can disrupt audit and coming up with some very strange, wonderful things, none of which have actually gone into production yet, but they actually are commercially putting some of these products out in opposition to us, even though they are actually employed by us. I think we looked then at the sort of more general thing about behavioral change, and I think that was important in terms of, you know, how we look at the standards. But the behavioral change in the way people search, the type of information they get, which is written, is things you listen to, is videos. And also there's the attention span has gone down. People want things immediately. They don't want to try and, you know, there's a lot, not a lot of information now that you can't get almost immediately, and I think people have got used to that. I put up a few areas there, news, music, shopping, all of those have really changed significantly. One of the interesting things is in our world, actually, investors don't seem to have changed in the same manner. But from you know, the news and shopping things, what we do see is that there's the reliability of credible information is very, very important. Digital tagging is very important. And from my perspective, we've also seen profiling becoming very, very important. And I mentioned in our group, you know, I'm always amazed that Amazon seems to know what I want to buy all the time. But that's huge data back. That's got a huge amount of data in there, and it's predictive. And therefore, it's probably not it's too far-fetched to think that most companies around the world now have that sort of profile of the people who are either customers or users. I just mentioned one thing at the bottom there. I think when we started to look at this, how has technology impacted us, and we're trying to think out of the box. I think one of the problem with us is that we're all in the box. We've been there a long time, and actually trying to think out of the box is quite difficult. I say that because when we've looked at these questions internally at Deloitte's, we have something that's now called a greenhouse. We all go there, and some young guys write things on the wall and put things in pictures, and it's amazing how much actually comes out of that, that which we would never have thought of without that. Can we move on to the... So we're looking at how it might change accounting standards. I think one of the areas I think is it might, or we looked at, would there be a change to disclosures? How standards are presented, I think at the moment they're presented as books. I think that's old. I think there needs to be a change, the format, and look at how people actually use standards. We had a lot of conversation in another in the emerging economies about using the Green Book. I think that's like a better attempt at trying to have something that's interactive, so you can move through and find out how things link together. But obviously, in an electronic environment, you can do away with that, and it's just a database. And I think some thought needs to be put out around how standards are presented in a digital manner. We agreed with the other groups in terms of tag data and the importance of digital tagging. We also wondered whether there was some means of actually using artificial intelligence to look at the standards as they are at the moment, and look at whether by running artificial intelligence through the standards you could identify, highlight redundancies, and possibly aid codification instead of actually having a manual process. We also thought that the ability to be in an electronic format might reduce clutter in accounts by tiering disclosures so you can filter down to look at information. We also thought that non-GAAP measures were going to become increasingly important, and it may be something that the accounting standards have to at some stage tackle. You move on? Yeah. And then finally, we tried to look at how technology might impact the ISB and the foundation. The ISB is in a privileged position, and it can data mine its own website as to what people do. And I think that's an area where we probably don't use that information enough. A lot of companies use the information from people accessing their website. They almost sometimes have to retrofit it in because you've got to try and work out what information you need out and make sure it's in there. But it is a very, very powerful tool, and I would, I think the ISB should look at that and see how much information they actually have on hand already. The second thing was maybe there is a need at the moment. People sign on and buy books, and you get details about them. Maybe by creating a bigger profile, a bigger community, there'd be an ability to profile users and understand the customer base. Again, it's what a lot of big data users are doing. They are actually creating models so they can understand what people look at, why they look at them. And if you actually have that and you're starting to use other types of social media, that's an invaluable area to get information. We also thought technology might enable the ISB to be more global and a virtual organization, so it doesn't necessarily have to be sat here in the UK, particularly if we exit Europe. It might be somewhere in the world, but technology would probably enable some of that. We thought through from our auditing background as to the use of artificial intelligence, and one of the products we use is Watson. And whether that would be something that could using artificial intelligence to actually answer questions that come into the ISB. Again, we are starting to use it internally, and it is effective. It's a filtering process. It doesn't answer everything, but it's actually a very efficient way of dealing with issues that are brought forward. In terms of using technology, maybe using it to engage more with the advisory council and other interest groups to involve them on a more continuous basis. And then the final point was just really on, you know, monitoring chatter and brainstorming if we do have a technology network. One of the, in terms of users in trying to find out what's happening, there are search engines you can utilize to find out what people are saying about you, what is important, and issues that are coming up. And that's an area where a lot of time and effort is being placed by others in terms of trying to monitor what's out there on the web. Thank you. Anybody from my group like to add any further points?
Thank you, Stephen. I'm afraid that we're a bit behind of schedule, but do you have any comments from the ISB side? Yes.
Thank you. I just want to ask, the last slide was really interesting for me to listen to. I just wanted to ask you what would be the best way to approach it, because most of it seemed to me, at least from what you described, as very resourceful, and we are a very resource-limited organization. So how would you, because we've been thinking about all these ideas as part of the review of structure and effectiveness, and this idea of the virtual presence and using all these technological developments in creating much more impact for the organization and looking at all our products. But would you, for example, in your organization, all the innovations that you've been discussing, was that something that has used consultancy firms on this, or was that more of an organic internal development?
Well, as I think we're one of the largest consulting firms in the world, we probably used it internally. Unfortunately, often our own internal consultants are too expensive, so we try and do it ourselves. I think there is a lot of... it isn't easy to do a lot of these things, but they are becoming easier. And the technology is making things a lot easier. Just, you know, things like using Watson, it's an off-the-shelf product, effectively. And you know, when I'm saying look at your own website, that really just needs somebody who's done that, I would say, in a commercial capacity already and is probably, you know, working for... who knows, you know, Tesco's or somebody who's using that sort of mentality to extract data from things. And a lot of it is retrofitting. What we found out was that we had a very data-rich resource, but we never really fed it because we never really knew what we wanted to get in there. So when we tried to run diagnostics, we then discovered, oh, we'd like to know this, this, and this. And actually, we found out we actually could have asked that information. We could have got that information out there. We could have structured things so we could have found it. And so we've sort of reversed engineered in trying to find things. And it's a little bit, you get better as you go through the process. There's no solution to start with. It is expensive. But I think it's very important that you start off with the concept, and then it's actually a lot easier. I think the last one is something that we're working with at the moment is seeing whether you're able to use a search engine of your own to filter out what's going on in the markets and just find information. We have some profiling which we use on clients, which is looking at, I suppose, going concern. And that really takes text. It takes all sorts of information and just raises flags. And what we found is that's, you know, we try to put a lot of time and effort into it, and eventually somebody just wrote an app in about 2-3 days that does 90% of what we wanted. And so I think there is a need to use probably people who don't come from our background to start looking at this. It is different and it's new, and you know, there's like thousands of apps that done every day, and a lot of them are very intuitive of what they do, but they're not that difficult.
Thank you. I'm afraid that we are a little bit behind of schedule, so that I think it's time for us to move on to the last session. Feedback from the